Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your touch today, Lord. Praise God for all of his goodness and all of his mercy, oh God, that you've shared upon us, your people. Where would we be without the Lord? Amen. For several days now, the Lord's had something on my heart that I felt like the God wanted me to share with you today. So I'm just going to kind of walk off into that this morning. I know that I won't get done with it, but at least we're going to make an assertive effort to kind of get started kind of with where we're at today. Let me just share it like this, because this is how God deals with me. Several years ago, there was a great move of revival that I've never been able to get away from. And I don't want to get away from it. And yesterday's Pentecost Sunday, Brother Scott done a fantastic job teaching on Pentecost. I was in and out and was taking care of a lot of stuff during Sunday school. So I let Brother Scott kindly do the Pentecostal message today. And I knew that I was probably going to do something along that line, and I wanted to, but yet God took me in a kind of a different direction for the morning. But years ago, there was this great move of revival that happened throughout the U.S., and I say it was then, and not that it can't happen now, and I know we can go back and reclaim and go back and get it. I know all of that. But yet, in the same regards, I think about where we're at today in the church. I think about my own life as I reflect upon things that has happened in my life through the years, great moves of God. When the wind of the Spirit of God would blow upon a congregation, when the wind of the Spirit would come into a congregation, and there was a manifest presence of God that was there. And it was undeniable that it was nothing but the pure power of God that was resting upon the people of God. And we would see groves of people flock to altars, and people would come and just absolutely resign themselves in altars, and they would stay in altar service until the old-fashioned term is until they prayed through, until they knew that they got from God what they knew that they needed from God. But somewhere through the years, it seems as if the spiritual appetite of the people have somehow subsided, and it seems as if now that people are nowhere near as hungry for God as we were at one time in our lives. If we all would really just do a self-evaluation and ask ourselves today, are we really hungry for God? Somewhere on the scale of 1 to 10, you would find yourself and be able to place yourself on that scale, 1 being not very hungry at all, and 10 being very, very hungry. God, I've got to have you lest I die. I feel like that the church today is somewhere around the 1 or 2 mark on that scale, because our lives today are so infiltrated with the satisfactory and the satisfying things of the flesh. And it seems like that all of our needs are being met. It seems as if there's things in our lives today, and I'm not saying necessarily sinful things, but there are things that are in our lives today that are very satisfying to our flesh and to humanity and to the person that physiologically we really are. So therefore, if we have all of our needs met in a physiological sense or in a physical sense, why would we ever get hungry for those things that are spiritual when really we are really in not any need of anything? If I had time to do so, I would take my time and I would go to that church of the Laodicean, and I would tell you what that church said scripturally, but let me tell you what that church said in a nutshell. We're increased with goods, and we don't have anything, any need for anything. The latter time from Jesus going forth to the rapture of the church indicates not only a great falling away, but a time when people would be very lackadaisical in their spiritual appetite, so that people would no longer hunger and thirst after the things of God. My friend, that day is not coming in the future. That day is upon us even right now as we speak to you this morning. That Laodicean church said that we are in need of nothing. But yet in the same regard of them saying that they are in need of nothing, God told them through John, and the Lord Jesus spoke to them and said, you don't even know how miserable you really are. Have you ever thought about your spiritual appetite? Have you ever thought about anemia? Have you ever thought about anorexia? Have you ever thought about those things when people go through anorexia and people think they're full and they think they're overweight and they think that they're fat, if you will, but yet in all reality they are waning away little by little and little by little. And I saw a picture the other day of a lady and just kind of studying through some stuff. There was two pictures, and there was one girl that was there that was really heavy and overweight, and there was another one that looked at herself just exactly like that girl, but yet she was skin and bones, and she was nothing more than just total anorexia. And I thought about that in regards of thinking about the spiritual aspect of you and I today. Sherry's got a lesson that she's taught in the days gone by about spiritual appetites and about spiritual eating disorders and things of that nature. In all reality, I begin to think about that today. I begin to think about how many people might be sitting in this room or watching us online. In all reality, you think you're okay. In all reality, you think you're all right. You think that everything's okay between you and God. But in all reality, it's deception of the devil. And the reason I say that is because God is wanting to give you and I so much more than we've ever dreamed, thought, that we could even imagine, that God is wanting to do so much more in our midst. And we think we're good, we think we're okay, we think we're full. In all reality, my friend, we're like a spiritual anorexia, and we're looking through the eyes of deception when God is wanting to do so much more in the church today. But yet we look at ourselves as we have capsulated and we have maximized what God wants to do in the church, and we think that we are maximized to the place that I've received everything that God ever wants to do in my life spiritually. In all reality, we're living in deception. And I believe that God is wanting to pour out His Spirit on you and I today, just like He did on the day of Pentecost. I believe that God is wanting to do a brand new work in the church today. And again, I mean no disrespect. I mean absolutely no disrespect at all. But no matter how long you've been saved, no longer how long you've been sanctified, no matter how long you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire, I believe that God is still wanting to do a brand new work in your life. And I believe that God is wanting to do a brand new work in my life. And friend, all the last several days as I've walked through this message, I've told God over and over again, Lord, I am yours. God, I am available. God, whatever you want to do in my life. True revival is not going to come until you surrender everything in your will to His will and you say, Lord, here am I. I began to think about, again, myself and through the years and of serving God, and I began to think about spiritual hunger. And the Bible reminds us, if you walk through the Beatitudes in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5, and we're going to start reading in verse number 1. And this is what Jesus begins to talk about in the Beatitudes. And when He says this in verse number 1, and Jesus is talking about Jesus, and seeing the multitudes, He went up into the mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. The Bible says that Jesus opened up His mouth. He began to teach them. The Bible says He taught them, saying, verse 3 says, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5 said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse number 6 says these very words. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Before there will ever be a Pentecost, there's got to be a hunger. Come on, somebody. I believe before you ever get filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got to say, God, here am I. Fill me up one more time. I would love to come to church and find a whole lot of people that are hungry hungry for a move of God. A move of God like we have never seen. A move of God like we could not even explain. The only thing we could do is keep our mouths shut and say, my, 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 look at God and see what God is doing. If man can explain it, it's got to be about man. But when man removes his hand, when man removes his way of doing things, then it is then that God can come and God can move and God can do what He only can do in our lives today. I began to think about verse number 6 there again, and I thought about where the Bible said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Hunger, my friend, is something that all of us at some point in our lives have experienced. Some people may know hunger on a scale that others do not know hunger on. Some kids today, they know what it is to be hungry. Some adults today know what it is to be hungry. I began to think about hunger, and hunger, my friend, will cause you to do things that you ordinarily would not do. Amen. Hunger will make a man go to a trash can and be looking for a crumb. Now that's extreme and that's bizarre, but yet hunger will drive you to do things out of the ordinary. Spiritual hunger will drive you to do things out of the physical ordinary. People don't understand the move of the Holy Ghost. People don't understand why a man would stand and scream and holler like I do. People don't understand why people would raise their hands like we were doing earlier and say praise God and hallelujah and I love you Jesus. People don't understand that. In the fleshly realm, they don't understand that. Again, we can look about hunger, and hunger not only will make you do things out of the ordinary. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had church out of the ordinary? Huh? It's dangerous to have church like that. It's dangerous to have church like that, because the first thing that happens to the preacher is this. Well, Pastor, can you explain to me what happened? I've had that happen. Brother Wes, you have too, in days gone by. I don't understand what happened in that service. I've had it happen here. I've had people come to me and I've just said, hey, I can't explain some things. Some things has just got to be worked out between you and God. But again, when we think about that, we think about the next thing. We think about hunger. And we think about how that hunger will drive you to a decision. Hunger will drive you to a decision. What I was thinking about earlier, there's these people that somehow, I don't know if somebody sent it to me, and I was listening to it earlier in the week. Sherry and I, we got bad habits. I know it's bad habits. We both play on our phones before we go to bed and listen to music and listen to funny things, and nobody else does that but me and Sherry. But the thing about it is, I was listening to David and Nicole Binion, and I don't know who sent it to me. Somebody sent it to me, but Brother Steve, you might have sent it to me. But I was in service with them many years ago at Trinity Chapel in Georgia, at Marietta, Georgia, with them in service. And I remember, as I reflect back upon those services, and I was reflecting upon that song, and I was reflecting upon the spirit of that. And that's where this message hit me the other night, is because it took me back to that place in my life that there was a spiritual appetite there. There is a spiritual hunger there that at that time in my life could not be explained. Now, I don't know if this is going to hit anybody else the way that it hit me, but it hit me this way because I found myself, as I was listening to that, two things. One was, there was a lack of a spiritual appetite in my own life. Come on, somebody. And if you're not really careful, and if we're not really careful, and if we're all not really careful, we'll just sort of get to a place in the spiritual sense that we're just okay. That we're just okay. Can I tell you today that we're fighting devils today that we've never fought before? Can I tell you there are demons today that you and I only dreamed about that we would have to face? Paul reminded young Timothy that there would be perilous times and all these strange things in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy both. But he said that people would be lovers themselves, more than lovers of God, disobedient to parents, and all the things that he lists is in there. And so I said, well, that's always went on. But there is a spirit lurking in the darkness today that's really it's not even that much in the dark anymore. It's in open shame, if you will, that all of us are dealing with today in so many of a variety of different ways. So as I sat there the other evening as we were winding down and trying to get ready for a night's rest, I was sitting there, and as I listened to that particular song that I was listening to, there was something happened inside of my heart. And inside of my heart, there was a rise, a spirituality once again that rose up within my heart that gave me a hunger. It said, God, I just want you. Now, there's things throughout the scripture that I could actually talk about today. And when I began to think about the Beatitudes, Jesus again, these were statements that Jesus made about the characteristics, if you will, and how that people would be blessed and how that people would live in the overflow. And as we begin to look at these, several things I'm going to mention before I get into the meat of what I'm here to do this morning. And I know I don't have a lot of time, but bear with me if you will. Commentary went on to say these Beatitudes were statements of characteristics of blessings that are part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Each Beatitude looks at a different circumstance of life and how we as Christians are blessed through putting our trust through faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus himself teaches about blessings and rewards for all Christians, that these scriptures give us something here that most of America needs today, and that is hope. We can experience great joy in Jesus. We can experience in knowing this evening that Jesus is our Savior, that we are saved, and that we are born again. When we begin to walk into the scripture, Jesus opens this up in verse number 1. When you begin to look at this, Jesus uses these words. He says this, not verse 1, but verse number 3. I got ahead of myself a little. Verse 3. Verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Commentary mentioned this. Blessed are the poor in spirit are those, watch this, that feel, those that are poor in spirit are those that feel a deep sense of spiritual destitution and comprehend nothingness before God. Now let me say that again. Those that are poor in spirit, this is what commentary wrote as I wrote this down. The poor in spirit are those who feel a deep sense of spiritual destitution and comprehend their nothingness before God. Now, go back to what I've already said. Before we can ever be filled, we've got to know that we need to be filled. We've got to present a vessel to be filled before God. Now, again, I'm not talking about nothingness in the regard of being saved. I know that you're sitting here today and you say, well, I'm saved and I'm a child of God. I've been born again. But even in saved and even being born as a child of God, aren't you glad that God knows how to touch us? Aren't you glad to know that He's a God that knows how to touch His people? Aren't you glad today to know that in the middle of our spiritual destitution, in the middle of a point in our lives when we think, God, I've said this so many times in my life, and I repeat this, and I've done it so many times, I'll say stuff like this, God, I need you worse right now than I've ever needed you in all of my life. Lord, I need you. God, I've really got to have a touch of God. That spiritual destitution. When you get to that place and you get to the point of barrenness that you say, God, if you don't touch me, I really don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Is anybody hearing me today? Anybody in the room today? And you would say, God, He's talking to me today. He's talking to me this morning. God, I've been thinking the very same thing. I've been walking the very same road as the pastor. I need you, God. I need a fresh touch from heaven. I need God to come down and do a work in my life one more time. See, this comes out of a hunger. This comes out of a hunger, and this comes out of a thirst. You've received the former glory. You've received the former rain. You've received the touch of God in your life when you got saved. You know what it is to be born again. You know the joy of having all your sins washed away. You know the joy of knowing that you're free. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You know all of that. But I'll tell you one thing. There's places in our lives that we get some time and we say, God, like Caleb of old. I thought about Caleb a few days ago as I was processing this. He said as he was there on the mountain, Brother Steve, he said, God, I won't let you go this time. I won't let you go this time. I wish there were some people in this room right now that would get a Caleb mentality. Holy Ghost right now. Holy Ghost right now. Holy Ghost right now. Give us a mentality today, God. This preacher's preaching to me today. This preacher's singing my song today. This preacher's telling me what I need to do today. I'm telling you, get desperate again, like the woman that grabbed for the hem of Jesus' garment. Oh, he's coming to town. This is my time. This is my opportunity. He may not be passing by my way again for a while, and I've got to get a hold of him today. If you're in this room, if you're in this room, if you're in this room today and you're destitute spiritually, I beg of you to reach out one more time and get a hold of the man, oh my, get a hold of the hand of the man that stilled the waters and the hand of the man that knows how to calm the troubled sea in your life. So when the Beatitudes was written, he began to say, the poor in spirit. I'm going to tell you something, friend, I can be rich in God. He shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Or I can sit like a knot on a log. Hello. I can blame the preacher. I can blame the Sunday school teacher. I can blame the gas station attendant, which they don't have them no more. You can blame, and you need to go look in the mirror. The only person that's looking at you is you. And there's no excuse and there's no blame for nobody else. You can't blame nobody for your own spiritual condition. If it didn't hurt so bad, I'd slap that man in that mirror every now and then and say, you need to get your head together. Come on, somebody. I was telling these young people, I've had to go to the mirror many times in my life and look at that man in that mirror and tell that man what he's going to do. That mirror don't dictate to me. I dictate to the mirror. I tell that man what he's going to do. Come on, somebody. I'm not at a loss of words. I'm enjoying the sunshine. S-O-N. Are you hungry today? Is this church hungry? Or are we just satisfied where we're at? Have we ever just gotten to a place that, you know, we're just ready to sort of slip, slide, and wait for good times ahead? I don't think that's what God sent me here today for. He says again in verse number 6, I'm going to go back to this several times. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger level. Do you want more of God? I'm going to tell you something. God wants more of you. He wants more of you. In the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. You know the story of Isaiah 6. God was looking for a person. Isaiah finally said, well, here I am. Here I am. See, somebody in this room is wrestling right now because you don't know what to do, because you know if you give it to God, you're going to have to let go of some of the things that you've been holding on to. And God says for me to tell you, if you'll let go of the things you've been finding your confidence in, that God says, I will be your confidence. Hallelujah, Yosha. If you'll grab a hold of me, I will be your confidence. If you'll put your trust in me, somebody says it's hard to put your trust in something that you do not see. You put your trust in oxygen. Come on, somebody. You don't see it, but you don't quit breathing because you know you got to have it to live. I see the results of serving God. I see the results of the power of the Spirit. I see the results of knowing him. I see the results of walking in the Spirit. Well, when I can see it, I'll do it. My friend, we walk by faith and not by sight. Anything that you see is no longer a faith. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, if we're going to do anything in the church today, we've got to shake ourselves like old Samson of old. We need a shaking. We need an old-fashioned Holy Ghost. Devil stomping, pew running. Come on, somebody. We need to eradicate the devil out of the church. He has no business here. And don't get mad at the preacher when I say what I'm getting ready to say. I know he's here because some of you brought him with you today. The devil ain't so much out there as he is just sitting on the church pew. Because the church today is so infiltrated with the mind of the enemy. We think like the devil. We sometimes even act like the devil. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That you've got to shake yourself and you've got to put on the new man. How do you know I'm walking in the new man? And this part was not nowhere in my notes or my study. But we're walking in the power of the Spirit. The Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians talks about walking in the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and gentleness, temperance and faith and long-suffering. As we begin to walk in the Spirit, God changes us from the inside out. He changes our heart. He changes our life. So point number one was simply this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we find ourselves at a place in the spiritual realm that we find ourselves spiritual destitute, then when we go to God and we see what God wants to do in our life, again, when Jesus was writing this, he was writing this to his disciples, watch this. And Jesus warned them not to be like the Pharisee who smote his breast and looked down upon those others and said, I'm so thankful I'm not like these wretched sinners. It is so easy for the church, his people, to compare ourselves to what we're not and miss what we really are. And this is one of the things that Jesus was saying. If we don't have Jesus in our lives, we're no better than the sinner. Come on, somebody. We're no better than anybody else. We're no different. Better's not the right choice of word there. We're no different than anybody else because they're spiritual destitute. And then we are spiritual destitute. But then we begin to look at this. We begin to understand what Jesus was saying. He says that we cannot be like the Pharisee, filled with vanity and emptiness because of their pride and because they were blinded, and it blinded them from the truth. They were unable to see their true spiritual condition. God, help us in the church today to really see our individual spiritual condition. Only you and only me, we all know our individual spiritual condition. But thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus can come and Jesus can do a new work. And Jesus can take that person that is destitute. And that person that's been in want. And that person that's been in need. And that person that's been in a condition of barrenness for a very long time. And my friend, I don't want to miss the anointing right here. I want to press on in behind the veil, if you will. But if that's you in this room today, God just sent me by long enough to tell you, you don't have to die in Jesus' name. You don't have to dry up. You don't have to just set soaking sour. But God has refreshing for you. Again, Acts 3:19, we know that scripture very, very well. And renewal and refreshing happens through the avenue, the doorway of repentance. Hello? Repent means what? To change your mind. It means the course of decision or the course of direction, if you will. If I'm going headlong in the wrong direction, God said that we can repent. We can change the course of our direction. You can turn around today. Maybe you've been on a head-on collision with disaster lately, spiritually speaking. Will you not turn around today? Will you not turn your life around today? Will you not do something different today that's going to bring you to that place that God wants to do a new work in your life? Again, when you think about this, when you think about what the Word says about repent, The Bible teaches us this in the scripture in 3:19. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted. You got to be converted. It's a new walk. It's a new birth. It's a brand new relationship. Behold, look in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's not just turning over a new leaf. It's a brand new you. God does a rework from the floor up. Come on, God does a brand new you. God can do that today in your life. If you're going in the wrong direction, turn the boat around. Turn your life around. Do the hokey pokey. You know, turn your life around. Let's go. Do something funny every now and then anyway, preacher. God allows it. That your sins may be blotted out. Everybody says, well, everybody's going to go to heaven. No, they're not. You got to have your sins under the blood of Jesus. Everybody's not going to heaven. But he teaches us in the scripture that we sin. If we sin, he says, and your sins may be blotted out. I'm glad my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad today to know that God can change the course, the trajectory of my life in one simple thing, and that's to come to him in brokenness and say, Jesus, forgive me, for I have sinned against you. You don't hear much about that anymore, do you? Well, I'm okay, you're okay, you work out your stuff and I'll work out mine. Don't judge me, I don't judge you. I mean, you hear that. I ain't judging nobody. Somebody said, well, you know a tree by the fruit that it bears. Absolutely. And if you got a bad root, you're going to have bad fruit. And I'm not a fruit inspector, but my friend, it don't take long to figure that out. And it don't even take a genius to figure that out. It just takes you to figure that out. You know your root. You know the fruit you're bearing. And you know today whether you're hungry. You know today whether you're a spiritual destitute person or not. You know that. Preacher don't have to tell you that. You know that. You know what you need from God. You know that if you need to turn your life around. You can do it when you cling to him. He says that your sins may be blotted out. And I love this next part as they come. I'm not going to get done anyway. That's only point one today. One little tidbit of what I've got to talk about. I hope you come back tonight at 6 o'clock. He says when you do these things, repent, be converted, sins blotted out. Then he says times are refreshing. Again, this is how I feel. You may not feel the way I feel, but I think it's time for the church to do some soul searching. And it might be that we've been waiting on God to do something when God is waiting on us to do something. It might be that we say, well, God, if you just show up again, no, God's wanting you to show up. And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be real. Sometimes we need to rebuild the altar in the house of God. You can't hardly pay people nickels to get them to come to the altar and pray no more. Because we've always got something else on the mind. We've always got something else to do. And we've all, you know, when I was younger, I can't help but refer to that. I remember when people would pray in the altar and they would stay until the fire came. They would pray until they prayed through. And they would pray, even if they prayed by themselves. I can't expect everybody to stay the whole time. I can't expect that. But people would get so hungry after God. And they would say, God, I've got to have you. Anybody ever went to an altar like that? And you've prayed and you've tarried and you said, boy, I got a lot of work to do in this room. I said that respectfully because if you've never went to an altar and prayed until the glory come down, we need to experience that. We need to experience coming to an altar and praying until a person's life is changed and they walk out different than they came in. And God can do that. God can do that in your life and God can do that in my life. And he says, times of refreshing shall come, I love this part, from the presence. The presence of the Lord. Now, if I had another hour to walk through this outline and to go through some things that I've got in that direction? When you study Israel, Israel knew what the glory of God was. They knew that. But many times they would find themselves at a place spiritually that we would consider a place of want. Why did they find themselves that way so many times? It's because Israel found themselves always, always in a place of murmuring and a place of complaining about everything that God was doing for them. And they would slowly slip away from the blessings of God back into their former condition. I'll tell you why I came up with that, and I'll get to it a little later. Because God was leading them through the wilderness. God was feeding them manna. And God was feeding them quail. And before that happened, and before all that dried up, you know what the children of Israel said? Wish to God that we could go back into Egypt. Because at least we had onions and garlic over there. At least there was no graves over there. To me, it's easier for the church to die in Egypt than it is for the church to trust God to get into the promised land. And you know what? We're going to have to trust Him. Stand with me. There's so much more I can get into, but I'm not going to do that right now. Would you just take a moment and right now in this place, at this service, look at your own life, look at your own heart, and ask yourself this question: God, am I hungry? God, where am I at spiritually? Where am I at, Lord? Where am I at right now? Am I hungry, God? Am I hungrier now than I've ever been in all of my life? Or am I content? Am I satisfied right here? I want to tell you something, friend. To be spiritually satisfied is a bad or a dangerous place to be in. Because I believe that God has so much more for you, and God has so much more for me. And I believe it's going to come out of desperation. And you say, God, I can't be satisfied here without you. Lord, I'm in a good place, but my good place tells me that I'm here, but I'm not where I need to be. Lord, I need you today. Lord, I need you today to restore my life. I need you today, God, to do a new work in my life. Lord, I need you today to do something in my life right now, God, that I've been contemplating a long time. I've been thinking about this a long time. I've been praying about this a long time. Lord, I need you right now. I need you, Lord. I need you in my life right now. I need you right now in my life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you, just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I need God right now more. I feel like I need Him more than I've ever needed Him in all of my life. Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm spiritually desperate. I want you, Lord. I want you. As hands are raised all over this building, why don't you be like the woman that had the issue of blood 12 long years, spent all of her money, went to all the physicians and grew worse, until she had an encounter with Jesus. Oh God, give us an encounter with you in the church again. Give us a spiritual encounter with you, Lord. With you, Lord. As you pray, as you seek God today, if you need to come to an altar, that's fine. It's fine. Come and get a hold of God. Get after God with everything within you. I'm going to let them sing. But as they sing, I'm going to let you just process this in your own heart this morning. I'm desperate, Lord. Hallelujah. I need you, Lord. Lord, I need you. Young people, older people, whoever might be here, and you're just saying, God, I need you. I need you. You'll never be disappointed. You'll never be disappointed if you give your heart to God. You'll never be disappointed if you renew your heart to God. You'll never be disappointed if you come running home today. You'll never be disappointed if you give it to God today. You'll never be disappointed if you return to Him today. You'll never be disappointed if you call out on His name. this morning. You'll never be disappointed because he will not leave you like he found you. Oh, Jesus. Run to him. Call on him. Ask him right now to refill you with the Holy Ghost. Ask him right now to save your soul. Ask him right now to change the trajectory of your life. Get a hold of the Lord like you've never been a hold of him. Oh, God, we need you. Lord, we're in trouble without you, God. We need you today. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. God, we're hungry for you today, Jesus. We're hungry for you. This is between you and God today. This is between you and God. I can lay hands on you, but that by itself is not going to change anything. What's going to change everything is when you get to the point you say, God, here I am. I'm hungry, God. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Get after God with all your heart. Don't be blinded by the things of this world. Don't be duped by the things of this world. Don't be fooled by the enemy today and tell you that you've got to the place there's nothing left. But there is something left. There's more of God for you in this room today. There's more of God for you in this room. As you stand there in your seat, would you just lift up your head? You might not have come to the altar to have any particular need today, but would you just somehow slip your hand up in the air this morning, and would you renew your heart before God today and say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. All over this room, man, woman, boy, girl, Lord, I need you. Oh, Holy Ghost, we need you today, Jesus. We need you today, Jesus, in the church. Lord, it's not just about the preaching today, God. It's about your presence. Oh, God, we cannot go without your presence. We cannot go without the Holy Spirit in the church today, God. We need you, God. We need you. Lord, we need you all over this place. Man, woman, boy, girl, male, female. God, we need you today. Oh, Hadarabashehe. Oh, yeah, Mashataya Babahaya. Oh, God, today we need you. Open up your mouth today and tell him, Lord, I need you. I'm desperate. Oh, I need you, Lord. All around this building, get after God with all of your heart. Lord, I need you. I desire you, oh God. I desire you, Father. I desire you, Jesus. I desire you, Lord. Give him room today, God. Give him room. Give him room. Give God room in your heart. Give God room in your life. Give God space today. So often we fill everything in our life with so many other things. But God is saying today, give him space. If you'll give him space, if you'll give him room, God will move in. God will fill that space. God will fill that void. God will fill that emptiness. God will fill that dissatisfaction. God will fill the place of your pain. God will fill the place of your void today. God will fill the empty places of our life. For they shall be filled. God, would you fill us? Fill your church again. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, God, you came as a rushing mighty wind. And God, the Bible says, and it filled the place where they were sitting. God, fill the place again. Fill your church. Fill the space. Fill your people again. Lord, would you do it? Would you do it? Fill me up, Lord. 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 Before we go, if that's you standing in your seat, sitting at your pew, under the sound of my voice, would you just say to the Lord Jesus inside of your own heart, speak to Him. Fill me up, Lord. God, let us be hungry for You. God, let us be thirsty for You. Let us be hungry. Let us be hungry. God, let Your people be hungry, God. Oh, God, for You today. Fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us up, Lord. God, we pour our hearts out today. God, we need You. Oh, God, we need You. Oh, God, we don't need another fancy song. We don't need another fancy sermon. We don't need another fancy lesson. We don't need another fancy anything. We just need You, Lord. We just need You, Jesus. God, hear our hearts. Hear our plea today. God, hear our cry. We need You, Jesus. Would You touch us as the Thomasville Church of God? Would You touch us as Your church, God? Would You touch us as Your people? Oh, God, today, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Reach over respectfully and lay your hand on the person next to you. Pray for that person and ask God to fill them up. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we agree together, as touching any one thing, You said in the Word of God, if we'll agree together, and God, we agree together as a church, being filled with Your power, a church being filled with Your anointing, a church being filled with Your Spirit. Oh God, would You fill us again? Would You fill up Your people again, Lord? Oh God, fill us up with You, Father. Fill us up with You, Father God. Your presence. Your presence. Your presence. God, fill people with the Holy Ghost in this room. If you need to be refilled with the Holy Ghost, would you just lift up your hand and say, Lord, here I am. Refill me. Refill me, Lord. Refill me, Lord. Refill me, Lord. Fill me back up, Lord. Hallelujah. Fill me back up, Lord. Fill me up. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. God is not slack concerning His promises. All the promises of God are yea and amen. And God said in the Word, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, right standings with God, to stand right with God, to stand in agreement with God, they shall be filled. I'm going to talk more about that tonight at 6 o'clock. These are still going to pray. We're going to stay with them. But if you need to go, God bless you. We'll see you this evening. And let's all leave this place hungrier now than we were when we come in. Pray throughout the day, asking God to do a work in this church and in the lives of those that walk in and out these doors. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We love You, Lord.